Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, our guest, Charlene Hood, who is a wonderful teacher and also a friend of mine. Charlene will be speaking with us about post-11-11-11 harmonics. Now, before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-hosts. Brenda, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing really good. I'm having a good time, and I'm anxious to hear what Charlene has to say.
Oh, she's fascinating, Brenda. Mm-hmm. I know she participated in a huge event last week focusing purely on the energies of our transition through 11-11-11, so I'm sure she'll be telling us all about that. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I'm off mute. How are you?
Well, my computer's probably on mute, but I'm on the telephone, so I'm fine. How was your week?
It was eventful. It was just fine, Steve. Thanks for asking. It's fine. And I'm down at the beach. It's kind of cold down here, and I'm not complaining. But it's pretty nice. Yeah.
Well, could you tell us a little about your work, Maureen?
Yes, I'm a intuitive empath. Crazy woman, crazy good. And I work also at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of you wonderful people here at the show. And I'm really happy, and I really think that the four of us are doing a good show, too. And I'm looking forward to it. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Steve.
Absolutely. We've got a wonderful guest. Brenda, I forgot to ask you if you could share a little about your work as well.
Well, I work at PsychicAccess.com, like with the rest of you lovely people. I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in times, dates, and places, and it's all good. I love talking to the people, wonderful people on the line.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have you with us on the show, Brenda. And Bobby's with us as well. How are you, Bobby?
I'm good, good. Thank you.
Good. How was your week?
Uneventful. It was good.
Good. Well, it's great to have you with us, Bobby. Could you share a little about your work with our listeners as well, please?
Yep. Psychic medium and focusing not one particular area, but getting messages from guides, angels, whatever your particular belief is, just mostly getting information from source and then also being able to tune into loved ones who have crossed over as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for being here, Bobby. It's going to be a great show. We've got a wonderful guest with us. I'll briefly introduce myself. My name is Steve Frampton, as I said earlier. I'm a psychic medium originally from the UK and now happily settled in the States, and I also give readings with PsychicAccess.com. Now, tonight I'm absolutely delighted and very excited to interview our very special guest, Charlene Hood. Charlene is an energy empath. Who is Shambhala and Yusui Reiki Master. She's also a trained therapist. She's got many years of experience working with clients from all walks of life and in different levels of trauma. And I know that she's brought a huge amount of healing and spiritual support and insight to many, many people. What I really like about Charlene is that she uses this really strong synthesis between her left brain and her right brain training to help her clients, and she helps them to identify the things that are blocking them in life and helping them to overcome those barriers so that they can succeed. And she utilizes both cognitive theory and integrated intuition, and she really listens to the resonance of her clients' voices and energies to overcome blockages, whether they're emotional or spiritual. she really helps to get people past those stuck points. And I'm so excited to have Charlaine with us this evening. I want to just mention a couple of things before we get started. If you do want to call in for a reading towards the end of the show, I'll be announcing the number a little bit later. But please sit back and relax and enjoy our time with Charlaine. And join us for a free reading later on. Charlaine, how are you doing this evening? Charlaine, can you hear me?
She may not be ready for us just yet, Steve, I think.
Okay. No worries. Well, it's going to be an interesting show. How do you guys feel now that we've transitioned past 11-11-11?
I feel relieved. Because I really do, because I think it affects people in all the different ways, and I'm really particularly interested in what she has to say about, you know, her tuning into these energies and what she's seen, you know, happen to people, good and bad, you know.
Did you notice an energy surge or anything throughout this whole past week?
No,
not really.
Yeah. Other than
I take it back. Everything that went like in the toilet last week came back wonderful this week.
Well, you know, I didn't know it was 11-11, but I do live at 11-11. I've told everybody on many shows. I've lived here for 11 years, and my address is 11-11. So I figure, you know, I don't really have anything up on that. Isn't that really interesting?
Well, guys, I've got a really interesting story for you that happened on 11-11-11. And it feels like I feel like there's been a time shift. I feel like so much has happened since last Friday, but I wanted to share with you a really interesting experience that I had at the end of the day on Friday, 11-11-11. I'd spent 2 hours with a client face-to-face, and I got into my car after the meeting and said to Spirit, well, here we are, it's 11-11-11, and everybody's talking about receiving signs, and I would like a sign. And my guide said in my left ear, well, what kind of sign would you like? So I said, well, I would really like a sign that confirms that I'm doing the right things to prepare for the next year, the next calendar year, and that I'm on the right track. And I was pulling out of my parking space, and I pulled into the parking lot next to the healing center, and there was one car parked in the parking lot. And normally I wouldn't notice, but for some reason I looked out of the window to the left and noticed that car, and the registration number was Quantum, which you guys know is a word that's really meaningful for me because that's one of the words I use for my website. So I was just blown away at asking for a sign and receiving that confirmation literally within a second.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Love that.
Steve, you have those going on. I think it's so cool. But you know what? That's the same old thing. Ask and you shall receive. Really, I mean, I know I say it, and it's really easy for me to say. And I know it's hard for people to want to think that is so, but it is true. And I didn't want to receive anything when I was walking. I actually forgot it was 11-11, that date, when I was walking around town.
I had a magical day, and I'm really excited that Charlene's with us because this occurrence that came to me on Friday was during Charlene's 11-11-11 workshop. So, Charlene, welcome to the show.
Hello. Welcome. Glad I'm here.
Yes. Well, sorry for the delay there, but it's wonderful to have you with us, Charlene.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm hearing you talk about the quantum piece, and I feel like that's exactly what has amped up for us, that, like you said, instant manifestation, but it's like we're getting all these beautiful markers as well.
Absolutely. Well, Charlene, tell us, let's start by talking a little about the build-up to 11-11-11 and its significance. I know that you've spent a huge amount of time asking your guides for insights about the meaning of that date. So can you help us and help our listeners to understand just how significant that date was?
Sure, and it goes all the way back to the harmonic convergence, which goes back to 1987 and the realization that we were within those last few years or that window of ending part of one calendar or transitioning from one age to the Aquarian age. And we don't really exactly know, like, I can't tell you this moment in time we're going to exactly do this, but we as awakened people, or we are as those that have been looking to this time period and chose to be born in this time period, knew that there was something significant happening around the turn of the millennium. And when we started looking toward, you know, what's a gateways, you know, what's here that is going to be activated, what happened was with the 2000s, it was the triple zeros, and then the ones in 2001. And you know, each year there's been new energy building, new gates. I mean, you and I have talked about numerology. And in particular, once we started into the master numbers, these gateways become activations for more than just, are you awake, Steve? Or is Charlene awake? Or is, you know, Bobby or any of the rest of you all awake? What are we at a collective? And it's this collective piece. I'm particularly interested in what is it, that you, you know, you pull down dates and numbers and time. I've known those in my personal life for a while as well. It was like, you just get to this time period. And then here in 2011, we had so many full moons with eclipses, and then portal different energies coming in with solstices. And each one of them kept asking us, or asking me and those around me, are you really walking your talk? Are you paying attention to life?
And do you find, Charlene, that enough people are awake? So I know that you and I had a fascinating conversation just a few days ago about the percentage of the population that needs to be awake in order for a global shift to occur, or for there to be a true shift in the collective consciousness. As you work, are you finding that there are enough people awake to actually bring about a collective shift?
My answer today is yes. And it comes back to, you know, my Jungian work, my left brain therapy work is all about Jungian work and the collective unconsciousness and how we're asleep and shadows and archetypes. But what began to happen, Steve, is we began with the internet and with Facebook and with some of these other different things, people who have no clue to even look for 11-11-11 were began to see it. And we have this idea of, when I was first working, you know, with my guides and staying here reading the books, and we're in the South, there's not a whole lot of discussion of walking around and going, hey, my guides tell me to do this. But as I started to tune in and really listen to it, at first there was just a very handful of peers around me where it was safe to have these conversations. And as each year built and the network got wider, and you know, I went out of my own little learning and began to be a part of groups, or to begin to teach, or began to travel internationally, what happened is, Steve, it became easier to find those of us. And then you and I both talk about this quantum piece. It doesn't take many of us to realize how many people we touch. So because I can hold one piece and you show up and hold another piece, and then your co-hosts show up and hold their different pieces, suddenly there's a collective here that's awake. And it's my belief that as we awakened and started, you know, really doing our work visible, more people turned and said, look, there's a light over there. And as they showed up, then that beacon became stronger. And so, you know, Ken Wilber tells us that it's 5% of the population needs to be aware to hit a tipping point. I'm not quite sure that I would say that 5% of the billions of people on the planet are aware, and there are enough of us that are beacons, lighthouses, if you will, that we're influencing part of that collective unconscious.
It's an exciting time, Charlene. And I'm always fascinated, Charlene, when I speak to you about your awareness of the different spiritual dimensions and the fact that there are different layers of support available to us. Can you tell us a little about our access to the different dimensions in the spirit world, and whether there have been any shifts since 11/11 in terms of the guides that are available to us?
Thank you for asking that question. Yes.
My pleasure. I knew you'd like that one.
Love that one. The answer is yes, we totally have access to brand new guides, and here's why. Many of us are healers, so if we use Einstein's theory of E equals MC squared, mass on the planet of Earth hasn't changed, but energy, the energy that comes in and out of this planet, changes on a frequent basis. All we have to do is watch the sun. So the fourth dimension is out there, something that Einstein explained. We call it time. We kind of call it much more close to this third dimension. For those of us who are healers and we access the energy realms, we're working on the fifth dimension. We're working with, maybe think of Abraham Hicks, you know, Abraham as the collective, or Tom Kenyon with the Hathors. Hathors are with Isis in like the fifth dimensional realm here, where we're working with this beautiful energy. And as we started to get more and more comfortable with opening our heart chakras and working in that fifth dimensional energy, here's where that collective piece began to happen. And the closer that we got to the 11/11 portals, and the more people activated, and I'm not saying that everybody's awake, self-realized beings, but we became aware. It was explained to me from one of my teachers that it's like the teacher had turned on the light in kindergarten, and everybody was just waking up and pulling their hair back off their face going, is it time to wake up? And we have woken up, and as we wake up, we're working with eighth dimensional guides or 10th dimensional guides or 15th dimensional guides, and they're speaking to us in the way that you and I are able to listen to it, in geometric patterns, in like you turning to the side and seeing quantum on the license plate. Many of us began to see master numbers over and over and over, and as we did that, there was something was activating in our energy fields. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about, as a healer, I'm working in the fifth dimensional realm. As an empath, I'm working in the eighth dimensional realm, bringing in those higher guides to be able to tell me the information that's the most pertinent at that moment in time. And then as I began working here in this quantum level, for want of a better word, I began to see, you know, the 15th dimensional guides coming in from this much, much higher realm. And they bring in rainbow energy, which is all about that rainbow bridge.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You have such knowledge, Charlene. How many dimensions are there, or how many dimensions do you feel there are?
Well, our teaching, the Mayans tell us that there's 144.
Wow.
You know, if I go back to sacred geometry, if I was talking with you about the Shambhala Reiki and teaching you that, I would talk about the first 49. I mean, many of you out there might be working on the 49th level, but I'm not there yet. and I've watched you channel. I mean, I've watched you, you know, as you give readings for people, you totally accessed a different realm than what's right here. Right.
Well, I to be honest, Charlene, I just trust my guides and trust that when I'm working with the clients, I'm channeling from the appropriate source for them. You have much more understanding of the dimensions and some of the shifts that we're experiencing right now than I do, for sure. And that's why I always find our interactions so fascinating. I want to ask you, Charlene, for our listeners, how can we catch the wave, as it were? How can we engage in these positive energies? What do we need to do to really connect with the higher dimensions and participate in this shift in energetic, this shift towards a more spiritual life, more spiritual responsibility? How can we participate in this opportunity to make the world better?
The word that comes the most often to me is focus and concentration, right? But for so many, we're so busy, and I'm going to use the word energy because I'm busy doing this, and I've got to multitask there, and I need to make that phone call, and I need to make all this. The more that I'm out there in that scattered chaos energy field, the less that my guides can talk to me truly and wholly here in this concentrated space. So the more, I call it withdrawing the mind, taking the consciousness off the front of my face and pulling it back into my crystalline core energy or the spine or the aligned chakras. There's lots of different words that we can use for it, but the more, 11-11-11 was a gateway that brought us beautiful energy, higher harmonics, and a vibrational frequency that hasn't existed on this planet before. On top of that, there were these aware people, and I call it a commonwealth of sentient beings. There was these aware sentient beings who were here going, yes, Earth has moved from this phase to this phase, and now what you have to do is hold that. So we, as people born here in this 3D lifetime, we're now being asked to walk our truth. And in walking your truth, it's about releasing that which no longer serves. So if you have your hand out here in all of this chaos energy, then you're not really listening to and tapping into the harmonics. And I use harmonics because I hear it. You know, I've sent out an email, a blog post recently about just this beautiful sound that's now here on the earth that wasn't here before. And how do we catch that? It's, we've got to be silent or open, whichever word you use there, right? Because, yes, you're now aware and using your guides and working with them in every waking moment, but were you like that when you first began to awaken?
No. And I find, you know, Charlene, it's work that just goes on for eternity. I used to say, I think spiritual work is, you know, there's so much to learn that it will take me a lifetime. And now I just laugh at that comment that I used to make when I was younger, because it's so clear to me now that there's an eternity of knowledge, of spiritual development and evolution available to each of us. It's fascinating. So, Charlene, I want to ask you as well, though. You know, when we have a lot of discussions on the radio show about spiritual topics, and this evening we're talking about post-11-11-11 harmonics and these shifts in energy. But we're a group of like-minded people. We're interested in metaphysics. We're interested in spirituality. How are you seeing this shift in the energetic actually come through in the world, and particularly in the world beyond our group of like-minded souls?
It's a great kind of jumping off point for the conversation about what's in the mainstream and what is the mainstream media talking about, and yet what are we posting on Facebook and what are we writing about in our blogs. And like, this show will be archived, and who might listen to it 3 years from now and get the activation they need from the words? That's the piece. Because I am a light worker, wherever I am, I bring light. And that might look like modeling for someone with a smile or with an interaction or with a kindness in a way that they've never seen kindness or they've never encountered it before. And because I'm a quantum theorist and believe in M theory and that we're all right here together, the more that I clean up of my stuff, the more that I withdraw my mind and my attachments and my judgments from that, the more it frees and becomes a model in the collective unconscious. So does that put us in danger as we walk, you know, out among people who are asleep? And that's not a judgment. It's just that they're not using the gifts and the talents that you and I are now accessing. Does it? What matters is that I'm, again, within that concentrated area that's mine, and I know that I'm speaking my truth, so that who resonates and attracts and comes to me are those people that are now ready to be, you know, they see something that I have, or they see something that you have, or the people who stumble across the radio shows that have been archived, there's something about that particular one that they need to hear, they need to feel, they need to be made aware of, or they just need the validation of it. So I think that's why we're traveling, right? I was with a friend of mine today that's just came back from Israel for 5 weeks. I know that you've been traveling different parts around the world. I'm going to Germany in January and February. Someone else has just come back from South Africa. I mean, even within the group of your cohorts here, you know, someone's down at the beach already. How quickly we move this from continent to continent or from place to place. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And Charlene, you know, I was listening to an amazing presentation last night about a guy in Knoxville, Tennessee, who became aware that many schools don't have enough scientific calculators, and that kids are having to share calculators, and they're not able to progress well because of a lack of equipment. And he baked a load of cookies basically, and stood in public and gave away cookies, and people were asking him why he was doing it, and he said, well, I'm hoping that somebody who likes the cookies might bring a scientific calculator, because there's a desperate need in schools for scientific calculators, and the kids that don't have them are the kids that come from a lower income background, and we're not allowing them to get out of that because they don't have the equipment to realize their potential and learn what they could about mathematics and science. And he went on to say that, you know, he'd used Facebook to raise awareness, and there's now an awareness that this is a problem all over the world, and all over the world, the way we operate, we are preventing amazing kids, many of whom are geniuses, we're preventing them from learning and growing and becoming a huge part of the future. And it just reminded me of the point you always make about social media, and the fact that social media now really is bringing the world together. So a person in America can share something on the internet or through social media, and it's immediately available all around the world. And somebody in Egypt or Iran or anywhere can do the same, and it just changes the whole political dynamic. So what correlation do you draw between our technological advances and our energetic evolution?
That I think is a direct parallel, right? I have another teacher, Rainbow Eagle, who talks about that we now have the spiritual smorgasbord that we can reach out to. I no longer stay in America and only learn about what someone locally teaches me in the high school books that are, you know, written by, you know, to the victor it goes history, right? I can talk with you and learn about stuff in one country, or go to the library and pick up a book somewhere else, or you know, just like or, and that's the cusp. And then the other piece is so many of the children coming in right now are already telepathic. And so the rest of us are being trained through our electronic devices to access this information, and they seem to know. And I tell the story of getting the cell phone that I have at the moment because my nephew thought this was the phone that I needed to have, and not knowing how to turn the thing off. And someone else handing it to one of them, they're like pushing two or three buttons, and they automatically seem to know things. And is it because they don't have the same rules that I have? Rules of, oh, I might mess it up and it might be broken? I think the technological advances are one more indicator of where we are. Like, I think when you and I have talked about, or you have the little video that you show that says Facebook didn't exist 6 years ago. And, you know, in the internet, I happen to know about computers and the internet because my dad worked for an international company and had computers in our house in the 70s. But how did he have that? Because he was part of developing and talking about that. And, you know, there's parts of the country in the world right now where electricity isn't even a part of their everyday language.
It's just so important, right. Isn't it? I have issues with some electrical devices in that I've become so sensitive that certain devices bother me energetically. I can feel the energy coming off them, and that can be cell phones, that can be computers. And as I've become more sensitive, I'm aware that everybody in some way is detecting or experiencing the changes in energy just in the equipment that we use. And I believe that in actual fact, we're rewiring ourselves, that we're manifesting technology, Charlene, that rewire us. Mm-hmm. And if you think, for example, of social media, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, we're instantly interconnected. And I believe firmly that it's because we're shifting towards our collective way of existing, the truth, the fact that we're all part of one great scheme, but we're becoming more wired, we are becoming more in tune with each other, and we're developing our intuition and our telepathy, and that's partly why we're manifesting these great technological advances. Do your guides say
yes.
The same?
Yes, very much so, and that's the part of this instantaneous communication around the world. I mean, I know that you get texts from people all over the place. You know, how many years ago could you just think about even picking up the phone to do that was outside the realms of anything that was possible? And now we have almost instantaneous contact. And what would be that like? What would it be like if we were now, okay, you need to talk to someone on that continent, you just think about them and have that conversation, right? And that's the piece that I think is brilliant about the communications and about the technological devices that we're using right now. That it didn't exist. So much
absolutely.
So, think about cassettes. I mean, we don't have those anymore.
Well, Charlene, I want to ask you in a moment all about the astrological events that we're going to experience up through to the winter solstice in December. But before we do that, we're going to take a short commercial break, but we'll be back very shortly.
Sure.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Charlene, after that commercial break. So, Charlene, can you explain to us some of the universal astrological shifts that we're going to be experiencing up until the winter solstice, for example, in December?
Sure. You know, many of us follow Mercury. You know, Mercury goes retrograde there on the 24th, which is Thanksgiving. So travel, communications, all of these different kind of things. And then on the new moon, on the 25th, we have the solar eclipse. And that, on top of Mercury already going retrograde, on top of, you know, what we normally use the new moon energy for, plus the fact that so many of us are going to be with our families, just is one of those times to pull your energy back in and think peaceful. You know, I mean, I think I was told in my childhood, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. I have a mantra that I use. It's called, you know, sing peace. Sing peace, know love, dance joy. And it's because sometimes all I can do in situations is just hold love for them, because I don't agree with what they're saying, or it's not exactly harmful, but it's not a part of what I want to be around. And I'm talking about my family of origin, right? So totally over the Thanksgiving weekend, there's that opportunity for you all to have put protection in place for yourself ahead of time. Just send some beautiful energy in, send some healing. If you're going to be in a stressful situation, have a beautiful poem that you pull out. And then we go straight in from that. I mean, Mercury's retrograde until December 13th, but then we have the full moon, and we have this phenomenal full moon on December the 10th. And then we have a total lunar eclipse in the middle of that. So we have Mercury, we have the new moon, we have the lunar eclipse, we have the full moon, we have the solar eclipse, and then we have, you know, Mercury going back direct December the 13th. So even in talking about that, I just kind of feel how the energy is just crunching down on us, saying, are you releasing? Are you relaxing? Are you allowing? Are you calling in your new guides? You know, we go to the solstice, and the winter solstice this year doesn't seem for me to be as charged as it was last year, with that beautiful, you know, divine feminine energy coming in and the full eclipse and just being in that kind of part of it. The energy for me goes after the solstice and on over until January the 11th, because again, there's those recurring ones. So the solstice and the Christmas time period, or you know, whatever different pieces that you're celebrating, whether you're doing end of year review, etc., it seems to be where we've got this crunch energy for me, and I'd love to hear from you all who are astrologists how you're feeling about that, seems to be during the Mercury retrograde and the eclipses.
What shifts do you feel for us in 2012, Charlene, but beyond the 11th of January?
Yeah, it's about choices. It's about what we as collective light workers are willing to bring into our harmonics. I don't really play into the doomsday piece, because I know that I'm here to hold something totally different than a cataclysmic end of the world kind of thing. So I don't give much energy or conversation or talk about that. However, what am I doing? Again, the Ho'oponopono piece about clearing up something inside of myself. What am I doing to bring light in? What am I doing to, if I'm in a conversation with people and they bring up the fearful destruction type of conversations, how am I singing peace into that? Are there going to be earth changes? Yes, significant earth changes. Do I know what they are? No. And do I think it's the end of the world? No.
I've seen so much fear, but I trust what I feel energetically, and I feel very excited about the future. And I've, like everybody, had my ups and downs throughout the year. It's normal. But when we passed through 11/11/11, I became really excited about my future and the future of the world. I have to say, I feel that something shifted within me. Mm-hmm. And as I look at what's happening in the media and the world, it's a great time of shift, but a great opportunity to to transform. Now, Charlene, one of my co-hosts, Maureen, has a question. Maureen, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Charlene. So great having listening to this interview. It's wonderful. You know, I know you're talking a little bit about, you know, the 11-11 and also about Union. And I'm real into Carl Jung, but I know it's Jung. However, you know, it's interesting because I've lived at my home address is 11-11. I've lived here now this year 11 years. And I've been seeing 11-11, always seeing it on the clock. You know, you always look up, there it is, there it is, there it is. I kind of got used to it. And in addition to that, which I don't know, you know, the way I look at it, I don't know if I believe, I'm one that doesn't believe anything. All I know is what I know, what I experience, which is fine, which is the way I look at things. And it works well for me. But talking about Carl Union, I'll say Union is better. The thing about how he would say we are all connected, and it was like we are immediately born into with a psychic inheritance. Immediately, all of us, come into this. And I'm really all. I mean, I'm all for what he had, what he believed, or whatever he printed, whatever. I think that's absolutely where it comes down to that. When the shift began in the '60s, really, when it really started coming about. Where we're heading now. And I myself am looking forward to it, and very much so. But I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that with we all, you know, a lot of people say, well, we are all connected. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who we are, what we are, where we live, what country. And by knowing that, I feel that we're going to have a really great new beginning because of that. And I want to know what your thoughts were on that.
Sure. And here's what I say routinely is that those of us who are on this planet now, we are like massive kick-ass light warriors in the galaxy. And we have chosen to be here because our energy is needed. And some of us are way showers. Some of us are trailblazers. And by being here and even having this conversation in this way, you're making it okay for other people to say, well, maybe I do have psychic abilities. And I agree 1,000,000% that we're all born with these. And particularly as I work with people, I will talk with them about what they saw and knew from four-year-old back. Because when they start getting into, particularly in America, we start going to school 5, 6, 7, we get told that, no, you don't see auras. No, there isn't people out there, and you clearly see them and talk to them. No, that, you know, no, I don't see energy around a person. And it's when we start benchmarking against that collective asleepness that we get separated from our gifts and talents. You know, and those of you who have stayed connected with them, you did it in spite of the collectiveness around you. So, you know, yay, glad you're here. You know, part of the family. That's how I introduce people anymore.
That's very well said. Well said. Thank you. That was very well said the way you put that, because you're right. By the age of 10, they're usually conditioned. And it's just the way it is in our society. But some of us don't get conditioned so easily. But I like how
Especially you, Maureen.
No, especially me. I mean, come on. We know my story, but thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. And Charlene, I want to just go wind back a little to the beginning, because the term harmonic convergence, or the term post-11-11 harmonics, they're new terms to us. Could you give us a simple explanation of harmonics, and particularly harmonic convergence?
Sure. Harmonics, for me, is a part of the vibrational scale. For one of, you know, we have light that goes from, you know, the rainbows of light that goes into the infrared frequency and, you know, down into some of the other different frequencies. We also have sound that's in our hearing range and, you know, above it and below it. And yet each of it, each of those resonance, as they come together, have harmonics. And as those harmonics, like say, you pick one note and I choose another note, as those two notes interact, right? As our souls interact, as our life purposes interact, there becomes a separate harmonics that gets created. Like, you know, two or more gathered together, and any of the doctrine that you type of think about, I on my own do one thing. Collectively, you and I get together, there's this spontaneity that happens. You have an idea, and I have a bright idea, and we get working on this, and suddenly something gets created that wasn't possible for either one of us on our own, right? So harmonics has a wave frequency. If you were a physics person, you can go out and, you know, define it on certain hertz, and it fits this wavelength, and it's short or long or et cetera. So harmonics has a whole great physical space. The harmonic convergence, go out and Google that phrase particularly. The harmonic convergence was chosen because it was at the end of the different pieces of the Mayan calendar. And in particular, the Mayan calendar piece that began when Cortez landed in America. And the date I wrote down on that is April 22 of 1519. And then we have gone through the different cycles, and it actually ended precisely by the calendar's prediction on August 16 and 17 of 1987. That's why it was a convergence. Just like you've got in astrology, you've got grand crosses and, you know, these different things that come together and particular names for it. The harmonic convergence was just that. It was a convergence of lots of different points coming together, asking us to awaken. So the harmonics, and then 11-11-11 brought us up into a totally new energy. So we've spent those 26 years waiting for 2012, but why are we doing that? We're doing that because the energy is shifting. So when I say post-harmonics, it's that this doorway, this stargate opened, energy gate opened, and now what are we doing with that energy? Are we going to let it just pass us by? Or are we going to stand in it and say, yes, I will connect my sound, my song, my truth to that which is now moving the earth?
Wow. Charlene, you know, you have so much knowledge. You really do. I'm always really intrigued to ask you more and more about other dimensions, particularly when you talk about astrology, because I know my astrology quite well, but the thing that always strikes me is that astrologically we focus on the planets that are close to us, but we you know, I remember reading about what they call the trans-Saturnian planets. Mm-hmm. So Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune. When we discovered those planets, not only were there great shifts in the world. So Uranus triggered huge awakenings and inventions, and Pluto triggered great reflection in our values, our deepest selves, our deepest psychological selves. But then I step back and say, well, it's so insightful. Astrology is mind-blowingly insightful, but we're still only looking at a speck of dust. We're still only looking at the planets that are near to us. Okay, now the trans-Saturnian planets, and we can look at certain asteroids as well and consider what energies they have in the world and in us as individual representations of spirit or God. But again, our universe, our world is a speck of dust. And it just blows my mind to hear you talk about higher dimensions and things that are so far beyond our speck of dust. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. If you tune in to the future, as we tune in way beyond 2012, you know, maybe to 2100, what do you foresee?
You know, it's a lovely question, because I think we'll be working with those galactic frequencies, right? If you were in the galactic center and turning around and looking at Earth, we would be in the constellation Cassiopeia. And we wouldn't even be one of those, you know, planets that kind of stands out, right? We're not like the different belt of Orion and different kind of things. So the idea that in, you know, 21 whatever we're going to be working, it would be like asking a two-year-old to explain electricity. Yes, when you turn on the light switch, it's there, right? So if we're talking about dimensional work, and you know, my training says that it's all right here happening now. There is no past, there is no future. Quantumly, we're all connected, and this information is available to us at any point in time. What stops that from happening is my filter, right? And my filter says that once we start working with those galactic energies, those energies that influence the entire universe or influence the entire cosmos, then we start thinking on a level that is unimaginable at this moment. And I don't get hung up in it being that far out there, because just like we went from the Model A Ford up to your beautiful, you know, Porsche that we're driving now, each element was invented by the person that was theirs to bring that special gift forward. So, you know, what we're doing here is talking about the fact that people are waking up to their psychic gifts, and you're all having a discussion around all the different places and saying, yes, this is possible. Not only possible, but hey, look, we're here, we're sharing it. So say you've been working with a guide that's bringing in information that says suddenly you're to make this next device. You know, how many of us are being told to write books? How many of us are being told to record information? How many of us are getting these messages that we're the ones to bring this next piece of the evolutionary step? And I don't say evolutionary as in biological. I'm talking about quantum evolution of taking that step from I'm looking down at my feet to suddenly I'm connected up to the stars. Did that answer your question? Are you there?
Well, I'm here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure, Steve. Yeah, absolutely. I think you just blew him away, Charlene.
Yeah.
That's what it was. He was dumbfounded.
You know, and
he's speechless, Steve.
He was looking at his feet, is what he was doing, as you said that. And
blew his mind.
You know what I was actually doing? I put my phone on mute for a moment, Charlene, because my cat was making a noise. I didn't want him to interrupt you, but I was asking you a question. I was asking you a question, and my question was, every time I speak to you, I think, when are you going to publish your book?
Right. And so, I mean, I'm one of those that has like four different books started.
Wow.
You know, I mean, one is like Dream Your Own Dreams, and another is The Brainwashed Child of Responsibility. And I realize that I keep writing with that left brain, right? And it's, you know, it's part of this awakening process to bring the books out that I can write with from my right brain.
Well, Charlene, we've been absolutely delighted to have you on the show. This is definitely a show that I'll be listening to again and again, because I know that you, when you speak, I absorb what you're saying, but I like to listen back to what you're saying and really allow it to come through to me on different levels, because I know that you speak with great spirituality, and that what you have to share comes across even more profoundly when it's heard again. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome, Charlene. Well, again, thank you for all of your wonderful work, Charlene, and for your incredible and incredibly innovative insights. We hope to have you back on the show and wish you all the very best with your great work.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank She's you. Great. Wonderful.
She is wonderful.
Intense. Thank you, Charlene.
And the only person that could silence Steve, apparently. That's amazing.
Oh, many people can silence me, Bobby. It's not that difficult. Wow, what a fascinating guest. If you guys want to know more about Charlene and her work, please do visit her webpage. It's fascinating. It's www.charlenehood.com. That's www.charlenehood.com. And you can also read about Charlene on our psychicaccesstalkradio.com guest page. I'd like to make a few announcements before we move on to the part of the show where we talk about all of the incredible things we've heard. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free reading on air with our gifted psychics. I will announce the call-in number shortly, so do be sure to have a pen and paper ready. Now, if you were unable to catch our show last week, don't worry. This was a wonderful show as well with Karen Tate, all about the sacred places of the goddess. I listened to it a couple of times at the weekend and really enjoyed the ideas and the content. So check it out. You can find that show and all of our previous shows on our archive link, again, at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And please do feel free to circulate the archive links and information about our future shows to your friends and family. Our objective really is to connect with as many people as we can, so please do go ahead and share. And do be sure as well to visit psychicbloggers.com. It's a site all about psychic development, reincarnation, everything you can imagine when it comes to psychic work, metaphysics, spirituality. There's some really wonderful material on there, so do go and check that out. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, they're accuracy tested, and they have unique gifts to offer. And you'll find that there's a profile for each psychic so you can tune in and see who you're most drawn to and get in touch for insights. And all of our co-hosts here on the radio show are also available at psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a reading from any one of us, please be sure to come along. We'd love to hear from you. I want to give a special thanks to Doug, who always takes care of us behind the scenes and makes sure that everything runs smoothly. And I have worked with Doug for quite some time. I know he's got extremely high expectations of everybody involved in Psychic Access, so you really can trust the services that are available. Now, if you have a website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on each reading that you refer through to Psychic Access from your webpage. And if you would like more information about that great offer, please go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends, bring them along to our chat room, and let them join in and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please do join us. Now, I'm going to give you the number for your free psychic readings a little later in the show. The number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. So go ahead and give us a call a little later. We'd love to give you the insight that we have to share. Now, we're at that part of the show where the co-hosts all get to have some fun and interact, and the energy has been wonderful recently, so I'm excited. I want to ask you, Maureen, to tell us what you were doing on 11-11-11.
I've nothing. No, you know what? I was walking. I live in a, you know, everybody's heard my story. I live in a great beach town. I live at the beach, and I was doing my interesting walk, as I do. And I went into Subway, if you must know. It's the only little restaurant there is in this little town. But I was, it was probably about 9 p.m. at this point, and then I knew that 11 was coming, but for some reason, I just kind of forgot about it. And now, is that my age? Is that short-term memory loss? I don't think so. I think it's enough that I live at 11-11, and I've been here 11 years. So really, every day is 11-11-11 to me. Nothing in particularly went on, except I ordered a sandwich, came home.
What do you feel since then? What do you feel since then, Maureen? Do you feel a shift?
You know what, Steve? I've been feeling a shift coming for a long time, and I think this is just now. But you know what I do feel? Wait, it's Bobby? Is that you?
I was giggling a little bit. Yes,
funny though. I mean, but on the other hand, the thing of it is shifting, transitioning, readjusting, limbo land or not limbo. The thing of it is, what I am picking up is more people are listening and they're understanding, I think, from this show or from some other information. They're becoming more aware that this is a really interesting time for us. And it's not about all the media gloom and doom and they're making so much money. But they're, you know, Steve, you know, I've known you for a while now. And Brenda and Bobby, I'm getting to know you, but poor Steve has heard my, you know, loquacious time for so long. My God. But you know, Steve, you've heard me say, I really think this actually started long ago in the 60s, but we're getting to a really good place where, you know, like when I was born, I was talking about the psychic inheritance that we all have, and that's union, all about union. The thing of it is, that was not embraced, but now the children now, things are different. So I do feel more of the shift getting closer to where we're heading in our objective, to where we want to be starting and beginning. That makes sense.
It does, Maureen. And, you know, there has been a lot of build up towards 11-11-11, but as you said, this is not an overnight transition. This transition, the shift has been coming for a long time. So we just passed through that significant date. But Brenda, what do you feel about 11-11-11? Do you believe that it's part of a harmonic vibration that could bring apocalyptic change that some people are talking about with the end of the Mayan calendar?
You know, I think we're seeing it right now. It's a renewal of the Earth. And, I mean, in my small little microcosm on 11-11-11, I experienced kind of like everything went wrong. And I hid in my house because every time I tried to do something, it was completely not the right timing for it. The energy was just not right to move it forward because it felt like it was in flux or in change. And then, looking at the big picture of it, all these natural disasters, all these things going all over the world with all these the governments and all the energy and all the depressing news out there, I think it's all part of like a giant shedding of a skin almost on the earth. And in the 60s, they talked about, oh, the age of Aquarius, blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, back then, and you know, astrologically, it wasn't the age of Aquarius. We've been cusping on the age of Aquarius for a long time. So it's going to be the age of focusing on humanity, you know, and I believe that even in our communities, we're all coming back to our roots. Our communities are finally getting it. Hello, we need to help each other here in our communities rather than, you know, wasting all our energy and you know, on all these other things that aren't important.
Good input, Brenda.
You know, Brenda, I want to ask you, you know, the age of Aquarius, so what they were saying in the 60s was when the moon, it says it wasn't there at that time, it was going to be coming up.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, it wasn't there yet. It was just
but they
coming.
But they were talking about, you know, when it, so that's why I always feel like the 60s were the start of really an eye-opener.
It was the start of it, yeah. Because, you know, they came from this whole 50s, like, you know, robotic type of repressive, you know, environment. And then they're breaking out, you know.
Yeah.
I feel that the 80s was kind of actually repressive in a way. And, you know, even though there was a whole new age kind of like movement, there was a lot of elements there that weren't as open as in the 70s towards our work.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, I found that out but when I started working in the 80s. It was a bunch of new agey wagey. That's what I call it, new age radio. Never mind what I called them. Never mind. I'll stop. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Steve.
Well, let's hear what Bobby's got to say. Bobby, what do you, how do the numbers 11, 11, 11 resonate with you?
Kind of like all numbers, you know, when you are getting signs from guides, those are some of my favorite numbers to get. And I think it's something that resonates for everybody. Everybody sees some type of combination of numbers. And then the 11-11-11, I've received that, you know, numerous times on either times I was worried or focused on something else. And then you'd get those numbers and you know, great. I think it is. You know, if you take the literal meaning of the numerology for the one, you know, new beginning and things like that, I mean, it coincides perfectly, doesn't it, with the whole shift that that I think everybody is moving moving towards. I mean, everything that our guest was talking about, you know, really resonates, doesn't it? Because it's on that frequency that everybody knows. Even if you don't understand this, even if you're not into it as deeply as we are, it resonates with everybody because it's just simply truth. So it's very fascinating.
I found it fascinating, Bobby, that there was a that the government offices were, everything was closed in the States last Friday.
Right.
It coincided with that, that public holiday. That for me was really, really synchronistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really was. It really was.
Yeah. It's almost as though it was meant to be a time of reflection, a time to slow down and just tune into ourselves. And into
well, that's the thing. If you're splashing around too much, you can't tune into it. I think Char was talking about that as well. You know, if so many people have this pursuit or have to chase after, or what? How do I do meditation instead of just a relaxing? Don't splash around the pool, just simply float. And that's when it comes in the strongest. That's the secret to being psychic or tuned into your intuition. It's part of who we are, and it's just a matter of letting it be rather than trying to find it.
You're right. And I was really inspired last night when I was listening to a series of presentations, Bobby, and one lady stood up and said, you know, something wonderful has happened as a consequence of the economic downturn. And you could see people wondering what on earth it could be. And she said, there's far less landfill because we're consuming less.
Right. Right.
So we're dumping less into our sacred planet, into the earth.
We were more aware, weren't we? We had to really shut down and stop for a minute. And yeah, that was good.
Now, Maureen, you've told us previously about your special relationship.
Yada yada.
Not Bobby.
Yes,
well, I know you're fond of him.
I'm very fond of Bobby. Bobby knows that.
The question I should ask you is, you've mentioned on previous occasions your special relationship with 11-11-11. Can you tell us about this?
It's really, should I, how many previous occasions? Let's say every show I talk about it.
You've got passion.
I certainly do. Are we all getting a little tired? Steve's probably about to wring my neck. Bobby and Brenda kind of knew to have tormented you, but it is kind of strange. You know why? Because when I moved here, I didn't know, honestly. I get more of the difficult things in life. I don't get simple. That's how I run. That's how I am. But it wasn't for years. It wasn't for years and years after being at this 11-11. Okay, if you must know, Seacoast. Okay, but 11-11. The thing of it is, I didn't realize I had been living there, and for years, I had always been seeing 11-11. I know that we all see it, but it wasn't like I was looking for it. It just always, you know, those numbers always pop up. It's not that, but then it dawned on me, you know what? I've been living it. It was like I've been living here for 5 years. And I go, that's kind of interesting. And then everybody's talking about 11-11, and all of a sudden, you know, suddenly, you know, 5 years ago, more so. And then I have been here 11 years. Yes, that's true, because I moved here on my 40th birthday. So now you all know how old I am. So I've been living here 11 years. So so I don't know. And when I was 11 years old, I moved to Hawaii. I could go on about this, but I do think it's kind of it's fascinating to me because I didn't know, but it is a fascinating. I've done some research, and you remember, I think on your show, Steve, I did talk about this. Some people think it's a sign of they think they were all, you know, devil. I think I don't know if you remember. I did some research on some people think it's the devil's doing of that number and just like the doomsday people, but. I don't know. I am amused with it. 11-11-11. I'm still seeing it. So I don't know. Maybe I should move after this. After the show, I'm going to start packing. I'm leaving.
Move to Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you know, I have all my paranormal. You know who I have there. You know the people I have there. I will. Okay, I'll be moving over there, so I don't be living here anymore. So 11-11 will be gone. But there you have it.
Well, I'll come and stay on the beach before you leave.
Yeah, Steve,
here,
absolutely. We'll... You're welcome to it. You're absolutely welcome. Thank you, Steve, for asking that ongoing.
You're welcome.
Question.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, Brenda, 11-11-11 is said to symbolize synchronicity. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that spirits are using this as a sign to guide us or to warn us of something?
Well, you know, it's interesting about warnings, you know. The warnings, the guiding also comes, you know, I think most often as a warning, you know, and that's really how people pay attention. You can tell them something and they just kind of like, you know how it is. People can tell you something, you go, yeah, yeah, right. But when it's a warning and it keeps repeating itself over and over again, I mean, I'm just seeing this as even just our little lives and then in the collective consciousness, we've had so many warnings. I mean, how many times do we have to like get those warnings till we like wake up to what's really going on, what we really need to do. I thought I loved the way that Charlaine explained, you know, her take on the whole vibrations and how we're sensitive to it. And everybody is like the microcosm, the macrocosm concept and how we're all interconnected. I mean, we all kind of sense that as psychics and people who are in the metaphysical realm, but the way she broke it down was pretty interesting. I mean, I think the ancients knew it because I think they came from other planets personally. But, you know, like the Mayans and the ancient Egyptians, I mean, all their pyramids and their monuments, just like the Mayans, I mean, you look at it and you think, okay, how do they really build this? Well, they've talked a lot about sound levitation and harmonics is all part of sound, you know?
And just the perfect synchronicity there, Brenda, just as you talked about levitation and mm-hmm. sound, my pen flew off my desk. Did you hear it? And it hit the floor. Did you hear it?
I didn't hear it, but I saw it in my mind.
You have to listen back to the archive, because just as you said,
I heard it
literally shot off my desk.
See, we have this. We're all generating harmonic energy here when we're talking.
We are. I tell you, I'm surprised by very little now in the work that we do. Things that used to surprise me that were new, they just don't register.
It's always amazing, though. It's wonderment is what it is. And it's because it's all based on universal truths. These are things in nature and the universe that cannot be denied, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's around.
I'll tell you something fascinating that I haven't shared before, but after the show about exorcism, my whole house was full of fog. And I didn't have any windows or doors open. And I went downstairs from my office, and it felt cold. And I often feel temperature changes, but there was fog in the house.
Oh,
and I just thought, oh, here we go. We've had a discussion about exorcism, and I've got fog in my house. So I went into the TV room, and I sat there with my cat, and I said to my guides, okay, I know I've had a show about exorcism, but I really don't need to have fog in my house. It's late, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. And it just started to disappear. It was fascinating.
Interesting. Yeah. Synchronicity.
Absolutely. I'm not surprised by any of this stuff anymore. Well, Bobby, I want to come back to you and ask you, you know, what else do you feel inclined to share as you listen to the discussion we're having?
Absolutely nothing. Thanks, though, Steve. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bobby. Thanks for your help.
All right. Hey, take care. Bye-bye, then.
It's a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, he's so honest.
Best to all of you. No, you know, it's off topic. Numbers are just so, and I don't know what the, is it resonatory? Which is totally a word, I think.
That you just made up.
That I just, shut up. But the thing is that I think that our loved ones use numbers as well. So many times I've had experiences, personal experiences, and others, obviously, from clients who have told me about numbers, and it just happened to be at the exact time they would wake up at the exact time that their loved one had passed, or, their loved ones would bring a 327 or something, and they use numbers in those ways as well. I remember my father-in-law, when he passed away, I happened to be in town, and my plane hadn't landed. I wasn't on the ground for more than an hour when I got the phone call. And I had come in actually a day early. And I remember going to the house and he was in the kitchen. And, you know, when you're a medium, one of the things it just happens quite naturally is you just happen to tune in. And I was seeing if he was still around or if he was confused or needed help or, you know, just what was going on. And I remember him, again, being there, but I looked up at the clock and it was 4:44. So, which of course in numbers terms, thousands of angels are around and that type of thing. If you're into that, so numbers play such
44 is the angelic number, isn't
right?
It?
Right. Yeah.
Are you an angel then, Bobby? Is that the?
That's where this was leading. Yes, I was leading up to the fact that yes, I'm a complete angel. Thanks.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks for letting that out of the bag, Steve. No, so it's just interesting how again numbers are one of the easiest signs for the people who are looking for signs. It's one of the easiest things to be aware of and to focus on, and you get them, and then you move on to other types of signs. So
that's wonderful. And you get to the stage, don't you, where you become aware that spirit is communicating with us constantly, that the universe is giving us signs all of the time. I find that I'm seeing faces appearing in the tiles in my home. So I have the faces of spirit appearing on the travertine tile in my main bathroom.
Stay away from the hallucinogenics, Steve, okay? I'm joking.
Say what? I can't believe I just said say what. I'm an American
Next
now.
Next is going to be potato chips.
I said stay away from the hallucinogenics.
You're going to see Jesus in the potato chips.
No, I know.
I'm serious. I'm serious. I can
LSD. LSD. No mustard.
I showed somebody, a friend of mine who's a huge skeptic, and I said to her, look here, look at that tile and just tell me what you see. And she just could barely speak. She said, there's a full face. And I love it. I actually collect artwork with faces of spirit. Have you guys heard of Coral Polge? Did I ever talk of Coral Polge in one of our previous shows?
I think I remember.
No, well, I didn't hear it. Well, tell us.
Yeah.
I was eating potato chips on the bathroom tile.
I wasn't listening.
But she's Coral's in spirit now, but when she was here with us, she was an amazing psychic artist. She didn't realize that she was even a medium, and she went as an adult to a spiritualist church in the UK, and she was told by the medium that she would be an incredible psychic artist. And if you look her up on YouTube, Coral, Coral, and then Polge, Polge, you'll see video footage of her channeling spirit and actually doing portraits, and then clients would show a photograph of that person, and it's just unbelievable evidence of the continued existence of the soul. But before I went off on a tangent, I was just going to say I love artwork and photographs that have random manifestations and appearances of spirit faces. I have quite a lot, but it started to spread to my tile work. I'll probably never be able to sell my house. But anyway, I think we're almost at that time in the show when we can start to take calls. So I want to just remind everybody of the dial-in number. If you'd like to call for a free reading, please do join us. We'd love to share with you. The telephone number is 724-444-4851. And if you do call, please do remember that you'll be waiting until it's your turn, and you can just continue to listen to the show on the telephone, and then you'll be connected through to us. And please do remember as well that we can only take one question from each person, and do try to be clear what your question is so that we can get straight in there and offer you guidance. And we also only take one question per person, and only one person per call. So we'd ask you to help us by following those guidelines. So let's get to it. Brenda, I was thinking maybe, that you were the first up.
Maybe there's a chat question. There might be some chat question right now. Maybe
because we don't have, let me see.
Well, no, yeah,
absolutely.
Let's ask some chat
question. We participate in the chat room, but
we always
prioritize the call. So it's a good point.
Special night.
Is there a question in the chat room?
Right now, I don't see one, but maybe somebody has. Well, Bobby, I mean, Rufus had an interesting one, but then I don't know if that's.
There's actually just been a lot of great chat going on tonight.
Chit chat.
You know, again, that resonation that Charlene was coming up with, it's really got people to. Resonation is totally a word now.
The word. It's the word. Resonate the word.
Resonate the word.
It's just a word. I just have never. Bobby, I will discuss it with you after the show.
Wow. So anyway, I think it really stimulated a great chat in the chat room tonight. People are really down with that type of energy that Charlene brought to the show tonight. So.
You flirting in there helps, Bobby, I think, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's resonating.
And hang on, I'm resonating. Wait, give me a minute.
You're resonating in the chat room.
Steve, actually, you got a question.
No request for psychics, Doug's saying,
though. You can't request of a particular psychic. Only.
Oh, that's true. That's
but how
true.
About typical psychotic? What about a psychotic? Can we do that? Request a
psychotic. Yeah. So the announcement is: if you want to flirt with Bobby, then you can do it in the chat room. But
Amanda, you're totally welcome to. That's the other thing. I mean, if you don't have a psychic question, Amanda brought up. I have a question, but it's not necessarily a reading, and that's totally fine. You can spur on a bit of a conversation. I don't mind that at all. You know, if you have a regular question. You know, we can just answer from our perspective, each of our beliefs and what it is that we think on it. So, absolutely, Amanda, if you have a question in the chat room, go for it. Yeah.
It's great. We like that.
I was, you know, when I first started working with Psychic Access, I'd done many years of readings, but face-to-face readings and telephone readings. And when I joined Psychic Access, I was really excited to be a part of the team. And I thought, gosh, well, how will I give readings on video chat? Because as you guys know, you can get a reading on the video chat as well at Psychic Access. And that means you can look at Bobby as well as listen to him. And you can look at Brenda and Maureen as well. But I was amazed at actually how much we can just tune in, even without hearing the client's voice.
I think it's easier in some ways. That's how I started out. I used to go into chat rooms, you know, when they were more popular, before Facebook and all that type of thing, and that's how I practiced. And I was, I guess, not amazed, but at the same time, you don't have the person sitting in front of me. For me, it was just all ego getting in the way of the person sitting in front of me, watching the expression on their face, if they understood me or no. And it was easier to do through the computer. And the more that you did it through the computer and talking to people and you got that feedback that you were correct in what you were saying, weird. And then it does blow some people away. Well, how can I don't want to call you because I think that affects my reading or whatever. And electronics, you can totally bypass through all of that.
They actually said that they thought that might affect their reading.
Yeah, they some of my clients would not schedule, when I first moved out to California, they wouldn't schedule a phone appointment because they knew that it couldn't be done over the phone, that it had to be in person.
Oh, I mean,
you know how many different concepts
there's a lot of clients.
There's a lot of misnomers.
Yeah, right. Some of my clients, they don't want to talk on the phone. They want to see you in face to face.
Well, I don't blame them because we didn't used to think we could do it on the phone, us people that do this. But there's Amanda did have a question.
Yeah, yep, she does. It's a really great question.
It's a great question.
Answer it, Bobby, as you're the king of chat. Congratulations. So Amanda's question is about a three-year-old. She's saying that a three-year-old child woke up this morning and asked Amanda's mother if she had a tummy ache, which she did, but she'd forgotten about it. And he's also talked about ghosts or seeing spirits. And so her question, Bobby, is how do you talk to a three-year-old about spirit and mediumship, which is clearly what's happening in this child's case?
You grab him by the hand and quickly run out of your house and never look back. That's no. Amanda, it's a good question. I don't know. My son is two and just beginning to understand, you know, the whole words and language thing is a barrier even for us as adults because all we have are words to speak, and yet they don't identify properly our feelings or what it is that we go through. Again, we can only use examples and such. And sometimes I think the best way, especially at that age, you know, if he's asking you, did you have a tummy ache and things like that, I still think it's difficult to explain things to them using words. So this is just totally what I would do. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just maybe how I would react to the situation. Is have them feel that, you know, of course, confirm that what they were feeling was correct. And then I'd have them come sit next to me and say, yeah, here, look, feel. And then almost like Reiki, right? You're kind of feeling into that energy and say, you know, either tell them that it's better now or that, yeah, put your hand on my tummy and let's, you know, let's make it better together or whatever. So more what I'm getting at is showing and being an example of energy. Kids are smarter than we sometimes give them credit for. They always hear us say one thing but feel another. So we have to be completely honest with our kids in everything, because if you don't, they know there's a difference. And they start to take that difference as being personal or something that they have done. So if you're lying to them, telling them you're okay when you're really not, they think it's their misunderstanding, not yours. And so they become a little bit more confused. So I think we have to be as open energetically with them as possible, have them feel that energy. It may hurt us at times, but to say honestly, yes, this is what I was feeling or this is what I was having. Because if you don't acknowledge that ability inside of them, again, and it happened to, I would assume most of us, it happened to me, but just being misunderstood and, again, thinking that everything was our fault, that we couldn't possibly be seeing what we are. So explaining to your three-year-old, yes, I did have a tummy ache, or yes, that's right. What did that ghost look like, or what did so-and-so look like? And then just letting them know that it's okay. And at the same time, enabling them to create their space if something is bothering them. My daughter will say something, oh, I had this dream about such and such. Well, did it bother you? If so, let's take care of it. If not, that's great, you know. And again, being more an example for our kids instead of telling them what to do, showing them what to do. I'm not sure where we're at on time, but I felt like I was rambling now. So.
No, you've got a really, really good response, Bobby. That's wonderful advice for everybody. It's a, you know, it's a challenge because so many kids are open to spirit. And, you know, as I said in the show last week, the kids arriving on the planet are more and more sensitive, and we have to know how to handle these conversations with children that are seeing spirit so clearly as we become more telepathic, more mediumistic. It's all part of this shift that we've been talking about. So
And it's not just our kids getting out of it's just not our kids getting out of control. We really have to nurture them and go beyond just them yelling and screaming and acting like a 2-year-old. There's a lot of energy there, and you don't want to shut that down, but yet you want to help them understand as well. So this is a great topic for a whole show in itself, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Well, Brenda, I'm going to ask you to take the first call for us. I'm not sure of the caller ID, so just go ahead.
Okay, this is Brenda. What's your question? How can I help you?
And we have the kids calling, see? Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Oh.
Are we sure that those are kids? Maybe they're spirits.
Bad connection.
Well,
weird.
I tell you, if whoever's calling, let me tell you, you sound too young for us to take your call, unfortunately.
Exactly.
We shouldn't really be giving readings for kids, so we can't take your call. But it's
maybe
incredible. Talk about synchronicity. We're
maybe
talking about shifting energy.
That is, and I think that maybe they're little mischievous energies. And I wanted to share a story. You were talking about kids being ghost magnets. My husband and I have this house in Virginia City, Nevada. It's an old gold rush house, and it was built in 1862. And we always have spirit activity, and we love it. Last time we were there, we didn't have any, and we were so disappointed. And then our daughter came up like 2 days later, and everything started. And she's 21, and she still has – and it's like that young energy. They're attracted to it.
Girls especially, right when as they're coming of age, everything's stirred up. And a lot of what they think are ghost energies can actually be – psychokinesis are coming out from them.
Oh, all
and
kinds
they're causing,
of stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. It
there was like poltergeist stuff. There was doors opening and shutting, and it was awesome.
Well, I'm just so amazed by the synchronicity that we were having a conversation about the shift in energy. We were talking about the sensitivity of children and how more and more kids being born right now are arriving on the planet with incredible spiritual gifts, incredible telepathy and mediumistic ability. And just as we make that point, we have a call, and it seems to be children making the call. Could you ask for any better confirmation,
validation,
of the presence of
spirit definitely,
and the synchronicities that the universe is giving us? It's just unbelievable. And again, we've passed through 11-11-11, and I'm finding that, or else I was finding as we approached that date, that we could communicate more easily with spirit, that we could manifest more easily. And when I told you the story really excitedly at the beginning of the show about leaving the healing center, asking for a sign, and then a split second later receiving that sign, quantum, there couldn't be a more significant word that spirit would use to give me confirmation that their presence and I'm on the right track.
We still need to, it's a misnomer too. I think that people look at us like, it can't be helped that some people automatically tend to put you on a pedestal or something, or think that you've achieved some whatever to be able to do what we do, and they don't understand that we still have our normal everyday lives. I was talking about you all, not necessarily me.
Yes, you're the king of chat.
but we still go through our lives, don't we? We just work with things differently because we know how to. It doesn't mean anything. But even us, I love getting signs like that. I love getting smacked in the face by a sign. sometimes I need it, and sometimes it's just helpful, isn't it? So even us, I mean, we still need to have those types of signs that we're on the right path and that we're doing exactly what we should be.
It tunes us in. It gives us a tune-up. We're like, okay, hello, now we're in sync again.
Well, you know, for me, I think if I'm not a mute. It's not about resonating. I'm just messing with you, Bobby. It's about if you heard an earlier show when Phil was on, I was always getting on his butt about the resonating word. That's all. It's a fun, nice thing. Anyway, you know what? I think I get a good kick in my butt, when I'm not paying attention. It usually comes from, well, here's melanoma cancer. Let's see how you like that. And I know. I'm not saying I believe anything, okay, really. I just know what I've been through. And sometimes it takes a lot for me to knock it off and get on with myself. And someone told me a long time ago, I didn't start this work because I wanted to. I didn't read a book. And here I go. I want to be this when I grew up. This was it was torment. And I was talking to T11 about how it was a very difficult childhood with me as well. It wasn't like I was embraced and I was this. No, there was all this money and you're a crazy girl. I was a Catholic and, you know, I had a really hard time and ended up doing a lot of things to sedate myself, kind of try to leave the world. I had a lot of rough times, although I was always very funny. But, I mean, still, the thing of it is, I do feel that gosh, what happened to me? I just lost my
mind. You just lost your mind.
I was going to say, you
I lost myself.
You can't lose the word, man. You're coming.
No,
I was so close.
I need a good kick in the ass. And then someone told me one time, and I kept saying, well, you know what? I'm doing my work. And they go, well, how much do you charge? And I said, and this was back when 1988, when I first began, $25 or something. He goes, oh, you must be very bad. I said, what? He goes, well, because a woman over in L.A. or Hollywood charges $100, and she's really good. I go, why do you say that? Well, because you go into a market, and you see an item for this amount. I know, Bobby, you'll like, and then you go into another market. Of course, when I go, that to me is ludicrous. That's when I found out, okay, this is what it's going to have to be. So I became very freaked out because I didn't start this for money. I'm not putting anybody down that decided to do this in their work because it is what I must do. But because of it, I've had a problem with it, though. And someone told me to shut up and get over it, which is the best thing they ever told me. Get over yourself, which is true. I don't need to keep proving myself. I'm still good. Bobby, you follow me. I got that you're following me.
No, totally, because that's the way it was explained to me. You know, somebody will buy water for 25 cents, but they'll go to another store and buy it for $4, and it's just water. That's how people look at it. And I've been told with as early as just 6 months ago that – everything I was in an in-home gallery type of thing, and after I got done reading for a person, nothing made sense to her. She was so very resistant anyway, and then afterwards, a couple of days later, come to find out that, you know, after the session, she kept telling everybody, well, I don't know how good it is. I've got a psychic friend in California charges $200 and yada yada, and I was charging whatever it was for the in-home, way under $100 for whatever, and so she didn't believe me anyway. And how good could I possibly be? And then of course, 2 days later, everything got verified for her. But that's the perception, isn't it? So. So, yes. It's a great point.
Well, thank you, guys. We always have fascinating discussions. We have a caller from Washington State, actually. So, Brenda, I'd like you to go ahead and take this call, please.
Brenda there?
Is Brenda there?
Brenda, are you there?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Well, how can I help you?
Yes, now I can hear you. Hold on. My dog's going to bark at court now.
Go ahead, my dear. What would you like to know?
Okay. I would like to know if anything has changed for my daughter's legal situation. She's going to go into mediation with her silent partner on the 29th, and I'd like to know if there's anything I can do for her.
Okay, let's take a peek.
Thank you.
Well, you know, the very first thing I see is that, you know, it's still, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's still about money is what I see. However, I see an opening for her. I feel that, when is the court date? When does she go in?
On her birthday, the 29th of this month. Happy birthday.
I know, happy birthday, right? Happy you-know-what birthday.
Yeah.
But really, you know, this is going to take a turn right there on the day, and I feel something's going to be offered to her that will kind of be a weight lifted off her shoulder. I do see change around it, and it's not what she expects, but I do see her coming out on top. I really do. Look, Wheel of Fortune's on it, so things are going to turn in her favor. I really do see that. I mean, it even in the darkest times, there's going to be this light that comes on. Now, I see a lot of anger from a man, and I feel that he's going to try to fight this, continue this, and he's not going to accept it. But I feel that he may have to. He may have to go along with it, is what I see. I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she always has a bright light around her, so that's good.
She needs to hold on to it, because you know what? I see her in the position of power. I really do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That makes me less worried. Thank you.
Oh, hang in there. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, and thank you for that, Brenda. Now, we have another caller for you, Maureen.
From the mothership, I think, somewhere else. Hello, caller from the most beautiful place in the whole world. This is Maureen. Can I help you? No kidding. Beautiful place. Hi. Hello. 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 Hi. Can you hear me? And welcome. I know they're telling me go back home.
Again.
Go back home, Maureen. We're trying to get to you now. Everything's going haywire.
Well, Maureen, let me ask you if you can take this question. There's
sure.
another question from the chat room, which is
absolutely.
How do we differentiate between emotions and our psychic feelings? Or in fact, do we?
Okay. This is my view, only my view, my take on it. Of course, again, it's not about beliefs or whatever. From my personal experience with what you're asking, and if I'm understanding you correctly, is because I get emotional. I think, you know, a lot of us, I was told all my life, you're too sensitive. You know, I was just talking to someone in the chat room. I was raised in a family that wasn't embracing me. So you're too sensitive. Here you go on and on. And usually, you know, I was called nuts and crazy and everything else until I became older. I was special. And eccentric was the next word. But with emotions, I think, and I am empathic. I think a lot of us in here do pick up on feelings of empath. You know, we have it going on. But I know for myself, I don't know about you guys. I have a really hard time, even though I can feel something, I don't want to feel it really happening, because if I'm too emotionally attached to somebody, I know maybe my emotions may be playing part. But then sometimes it's happened where I could have been wrong. It doesn't matter. I try to stick away from that. So emotions, if I've been reading for someone for a long time, I think that you guys might be able to relate to this. When I've had somebody I've been reading for 5 years or whatever, I try to keep it down to maybe once every few months. I don't do that. I'm a real respectable psychic. I don't need their money. I want to be objective, because it can be a real fine line until you cross over when you don't know if you're being too emotionally attached with them and you know so much. Do you guys follow what I'm saying about that?
Totally.
Hello?
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
You know, emotions.
It's too close.
What
to
happens
you.
Is the only reason. Psychicness and emotions, I don't think, and bear with me as I say it, but psychicness and emotions are two different things. In other words, the psychicness and the information that I get from source isn't emotional. It just is. When you start adding opinion to it, then the emotions can come up.
Judgment, yes.
When you're reading, especially empathic, and you're reading, you know, somebody else's feelings, or I know from loved ones from the other side, they will give me emotions to explain how they're feeling, what they did feel, all that. So that does come into play. But if you're going through, let's say you're going through something like worry, how do you know if it's intuitive sense that I'm worried, or is it just worry? What
right.
I recommend is you just let go of the worry or the anxious feelings. And then what will happen is the intuitive knowingness actually expands, if that's what it is. If not, the worriness just simply dissolves and you're done.
And that's such a nice, easy way to put it, Bobby. I do know that, I mean, really is, you know, sometimes I go, it's really easy for me. The best thing I can say is for me, I can identify with every single thing because I've been through enough. I'm not crying about it. Well, but I have been, and I can pick up on things a little bit easier. But when it comes to my stuff, I stay away from, you know, people say they can read or they know. I can't. I don't do it. Homie, don't play that game. I don't know. And a lot of times I can undermine my intuition. I just don't know if I can separate it. My emotional with that is a question for that. But
it's tough to, and you have to really absolutely release it. You have to be more invisible.
You have to be the Dalai Lama to be able to do that.
No, you don't have to.
Or Eckhart Tolle, you know, he's pretty good about that.
No, you just, I mean, you still feel what you need to.
I know, but.
So that you can do the job that you need to, right? You can explain this to him. But after a night, of course, you have to take care of yourself and you have to become more invisible to that. And we, above all people, or anybody who's in the helping profession, have to let it go much more easily and allow it to pass through us so that we don't collect it. And we need to take time to do that.
That's the key, and we don't. And that's like the caregiver needing to take care of themselves. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I don't manage.
It's a very good point, Maureen. It's a very good point. I find that, you know, I when I give readings, particularly if I'm doing mediumship, then the energy, I can feel the energy on the right-hand side of my body in the evening. So I get like a static or an electromagnetic sensation, an electrical sensation right down the right hand side of my body, and then I have to clear myself. So I'll have a bath in Epsom salt, so I smudge, I play classical music, and as I unwind, that energy clears from me, but it seems to come in and get stuck on the right hand side of me and has to be let out that way through nurturance. But I've got an interesting observation, and I wanted to ask you about this observation, Bobby. A client of mine asked me at the weekend how mediumship feels compared to psychic energy, and my description was that I feel that you can sit and read psychically ongoing. You know, you can sit and read for an hour and a half, more information comes, it's steady. And then with mediumship, it seems to become far more moving. There seems to be far more emotion for the medium. So I tend to be far more, I use far more clear empathy and feel things physically when I'm working with spirit to connect and provide evidence of the afterlife. Do you find that there's a difference in the energy, Bobby, between, you know, when you're working psychically, reading the client, or when you are clearly connecting with somebody that's passed to spirit?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just it's a switch of a channel, really, you know, is how I explain it, because sometimes people will ask about loved ones, and then all of a sudden they'll rip out and start asking questions about themselves, and you're like, well, wait a second, I can't, you're going to strip my gears if you keep, you know, I have to kind of complete where I'm at. It's a huge shift for me. And psychically, you know, all of those questions, all of those answers that you're receiving are coming from source. Guides, angels, whatever it is that you want, you know, whatever your particular belief is. And that is an all-day thing, unending, like you said, there is a complete source of that. But loved ones on the other side, the only way they have to communicate with us, I hear them actually talking to me, but most of the ways that they communicate are with feelings and emotions and how they're feeling now, how they want their loved ones to feel, the love that they're passing on to them. When you're also tuning into the person themselves, empathic, feeling the person that you're reading for and their feelings and emotions involved. And then let's say if you're tuning into four or five other family members at the same time, and that's just one person. By the end of a night, you're right, 2.5-3 hours is about when I start kind of numbing out just a little bit. And it really takes a huge draw on you. And again, just because of the type of communication that takes place, you're a little bit more offset from it. And sometimes, I mean, sometimes I get so emotional, you begin to cry a little bit, right, during during some of the readings, it's like I have to pull back for a second, because if I'm crying and I'm that emotional, I can't deliver the messages I'm supposed to. So I have to back off, you know, in a sense, so I can do my job and be able to express what it is I need to, and yet not be so affected by what I'm reading.
Yeah, that is hard. Even sometimes with anger, people have this anger. They don't appear when you're in person with a person. I remember a reading for this person many years ago, and I was pretty wet behind the ear, whatever you want to call it. And he thought he'd have a nice time with him doing the reading. He got really freaked out, and his fist came flying towards me because he had a lot of anger, and I was picking up on. I felt angry, and apparently he did have issues, and I was bringing up issues that he didn't think some. Tarot, as he called it, reader.
He called it tarot, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, the tarot reader.
Tarot,
you know. Tarot. And I was coming up, and he goes, and it was very sad. I mean, it broke my heart. That's when I was really, I thought, oh, my gosh. But, you know, Bobby, you're right about that. It's hard because I got a sense of anger. I'll feel a sense of grief. I'll start crying. And, But they are usually okay with that, and it can fit somewhere else.
Well, that's the thing is just that, you know, a lot of people want to help another person, but if you're triggering around the person you're trying to help, as far as I'm concerned, now you've got two people in the pool, and both people are triggering. Somebody has to be able to stand on the outside and guide the person and soothe them, and the person has to find their way.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, if they're open, that's right. If they're
you
open,
can't take and heal somebody. You have to allow them to heal themselves, but you can be there to soothe and protect and guide, you know. Yeah, really.
Well, guys, we're talking about the trigger. We're talking about triggers. We have a call for you, actually, Maureen, from New Jersey.
I packed up. I'm ready to go. I'm joking. All right, I'm here. New Jersey. Hi, New Jersey. It's Maureen. La la.
Hi.
Oh, there. A real person. Hi,
Deborah.
New Jersey. What's
My
your name?
Mom. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Great. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
My phone keeps going out. Oh, what's
My
your name?
My mom came over last weekend to get her hair done, and she wants to come again this weekend. What's going on? And she says, nobody knows she's coming to my house. Is that true?
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. What's your name, or what can I call you? Your name.
I can't. My phone keeps going out.
Okay. It's okay. Your mom. Okay, so what I understand you saying, your mom's coming to your house to get her hair done. She's coming again the following week to get your hair done. Are you guys hearing the same thing I am?
My mom wanted to come to get her hair done at my house last weekend, so I let her come. That was her first time here.
Okay.
But now she wants to come again, and she says nobody knows if she's coming. Like, my friend don't know her mom is coming over, and her family don't know. And I find that hard to believe.
So you think there's some – you know what? This is the thing. I get her mom is going through some really interesting times. I think we were talking about in the chat room. I don't know if you were in the chat room, but so this mother is not, and I'm not clear because I couldn't hear you very well either, but this mother that you're talking about is, and you said your friend doesn't even know about it. Is this your mother or is this your friend's mother? I'm a little bit, but whosoever mother it may be. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is what I'm getting about her. She has gone through some really intense transformation, a readjustment of her life to a year long. And she's rebuilt her walls that are going to play a really big part into how she's going to thrive on. And I see some really positive things. And it's sad to me because I feel this woman, and she looks like she has darker hair. Am I talking about who you're asking about? Is this... She had darker or natural issues.
Yeah, it's my best friend's mom, the friend I don't even talk to.
Okay.
And I want
is your best
my
friend's.
Friendship back with
okay.
her mom.
Then it is, that makes
you
sense.
Know.
So it was your mom, your best friend. So what my feeling
out,
is
so.
That she really wants, she's met, it looks like, is she a single woman? Do you know?
Yeah, her husband died about a year ago, a little bit more.
All right. I do see that there's a male, and he looks a little younger. Well, he appears a little younger, and it looks like he's a wonderful person. And she feels like a fear of depression. It's like, you know what? I understand what's going on. I think she wants to keep this under wrap because she doesn't want to feel like she's going to be judged. And there's so much she deserves to feel this, what I'm seeing. But she has the ability. Well, she has the – not ability. She sometimes can get into a really deep depression because she's so hard on herself. And she deserves a lot. She deserves to be able to thrive in a relationship, especially after her husband died. And she's a lovely woman. And I think that that's, it's not a weird, I think you ought to honor it. I'm saying it this. I don't think it's anything wrong. I think she needs to be, I think you need to honor it. And there's a reason why, but I think it's because of her personal woman-like thing. Do you follow me on this?
I think so.
I hope so. Because I think her daughter might not understand as much as she feels you would. Pardon me?
The phone keeps going in and out, too, so I can barely connect.
That's hard. I'm sorry.
It's like I can hear you sitting there. That's okay. That's okay.
But listen to the archive, you know, because you might be able to hear me better, at least what I'm saying on the archives, and you can forward it up to the reading, almost to the end of the show.
Yeah,
at least you'll hear what I'm saying is more so. Because you're breaking up more. But I hope you understood. But I don't think – I think that her mom really needs – I like her. She likes you. She has a relationship. She trusts you, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She told me some secrets that she's moving in with her best friend and her friend. But the thing is, I want my friendship with her daughter. And it's just like she's banking that out.
I don't think she's playing any hidden agenda. No, I understand what you're saying. I don't feel she's playing that hidden agenda, manipulative stuff. I think this is about really her and wanting her – for some reason, I'm not saying her daughter's bad, but maybe she feels her daughter would judge her and misunderstand what's going on. Her mom needs to go on and she looks like a young woman. Her husband died. Young woman to me, I'm older than everybody, but still she has a lot left in her – a lot left of, you know, right of her life coming up still.
Okay. He's in a relationship with a younger guy?
He looks like he might be younger, but he looks like he's lovely. He's wonderful. And he looks like he looks younger, but he's very serious about being in a committed relationship. I think she's fearing what her daughter might think of her, and judging her. That's all. I would respect this and then talk to her about it. She'd be willing. I say talk to her about it. I don't think she's a mean person or manipulative.
Talk to me.
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm
blanking out again, so I'm going to let you know.
Okay. Well, listen to the archives. You can at least listen to what my mouth is saying. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it.
And it's all silent again.
So what happens? Who's there? What's up with everybody here? There you are.
Maureen, thank you for taking that call.
You're welcome.
Yes, that was nice.
Well, she kind of had to. Doug told her to, so it's not really. You know,
I resonated with
you
it.
Must take this.
It's not like a big deal. I mean, she's kind of working the show. That's what we do.
No, but I resonated there.
Well, you were resonatory or something, whatever it was.
Resonatory.
Thank you. I couldn't even think of my own words.
Resonatoriness.
I was resonatoriness of estrictia.
Well, Bobby, on that statement about the show, your first show is next week, so
yes.
I'm going to ask you to tell us a little about
tooting your horn.
What you have planned.
Yeah, the holidays are coming up, and it's tough to get a subject, any subject, it feels like isn't appropriate, except for us trying to get in touch with loved ones, because I think that there's a lot of people out there that holidays remind them of a loved one. So for a lot of people, it's their first holiday without a loved one, and I just thought it might be helpful if all of us were to offer readings to people. Holidays do strange things to people. Even if you haven't lost a loved one, sometimes we, you know, are a little bit more melancholy or a little bit more depressed, and not all of us have the type of family situation that Thanksgiving seems to bring out. So I thought if we just kind of did readings for the 2 hours, people calling in, discussion between us is always wonderful. I really enjoy our conversations that we happen to get into, and I know that whatever happens during those 2 hours will be absolutely appropriate for whatever it turns out to be. So next week, readings for everyone who calls in, including the chat room, questions and things like that. So should be fun.
Yeah, and I think Rez is our guest host, isn't she next? Isn't she? Yeah. Rez, you're in there. Aren't you going to be with us? I thought so.
Well, wonderful. That's great. Well, thank you for that, Bobby. I'm really looking forward to next week. We did this last year, actually.
Did you?
We had the whole show dedicated to
to our
readings, and it was wonderful.
It was fun. We had fun.
Well, it's a time to focus on us, isn't it? Really,
is it giving? Is it giving?
Giving.
And
excellent.
I'm going to miss everybody next week.
We'll miss you too, Brenda, but we'll be thinking about how you're with doing the right thing by being on holiday. And Rez will be with us as our guest host, which is always a lot of fun. And Rez was with us last year, Steve, you and I, Rez, and well, whatever. Anyway, Rez will be with us also. So there you have it. Everybody meet Rez. Ha! She's a great guest host. She does that a lot. So
She's a lot of fun, but we'll miss you, Brenda.
We will miss you, Brenda. We'll be thinking about you while we're doing our thing. thanks, Steve. Great show,
have
Steve.
Fun. I know it's going to be awesome.
Thank you, Brenda. Well,
Thank you
have
Steve.
A wonderful
Great
holiday,
show.
And we'll be thinking of you and know you'll be with us in spirit.
I'll be with the spirits up in my house.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's comfortable.
Yes.
That sounds great. Well, it brings us to the end of another show. It always goes by so quickly. I was fascinated by what Charlene had to share. And as always, we had a wonderful interaction together. So I want to thank you, Maureen, for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you to you as well, Brenda, and have a wonderful
My pleasure.
Holiday.
You
and
too.
And Bobby, the king of chats, thank you for joining us as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And thank you to everybody who's listened to the show and participated in the chat room. We always have a great time. So please do join us again next week, Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And remember, if you would like a free reading, then we will be doing readings for the full show. And if you know somebody that needs insight, then please do encourage them to join us and take advantage of the opportunity to have a free reading. We thank you for listening. We wish you a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to you joining us again next week.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.